Amen. Turn again, please, to Philippians chapter 1. I want to draw your attention to the subject today. Three important days in the life of the Christians at Philippi. Three important days in the life of the Christians at Philippi. But before we consider this subject, let's bow in a word of prayer with the Bible open before us and ask the Lord again for his help as we come to consider God's truth. Father in heaven, we do thank thee and we do praise thee for the word of God that is now open before us. We thank thee that it's thy truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall stand forever. We know that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. And we believe that the scriptures of truth, we believe that they're the word of God. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And oh God, we pray as we consider the inspired word today that you would come and fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for each one here in this service, that you would speak to all of our hearts. And oh God, that man would be hid far behind the cross, that none would be seen, save Jesus only. Oh God, I pray that thy word would come with power. That's my earnest prayer. Oh God, that the Spirit of God might take the word of God and burn it in the hearts of men and women this day, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ. Oh God, I pray that it will not just be a sermon, but oh God, that thy word would come with freshness. Therefore, to this end, anoint us with thy power. Come, Lord, and speak with a voice that wakes the dead. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The Apostle Paul here, of course, is writing to the Christians at Philippi. And as he writes, the Apostle rejoiced in their faith in Christ, and he assured them of his continual prayers as they sought to live for the Lord. This epistle, for those who don't know, is known as the Epistle of Joy. Some 24 times within the four chapters of this epistle, Paul used the word joy or rejoice. You see, the Apostle Paul was a man, no matter what his circumstances, he always rejoiced in the Lord. And he always exhorted others to rejoice in the Lord. Look at Philippians 4, verse 4, just for a moment. Here Paul says to the saints at Philippi, underline the words, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The church at Philippi, of course, began after Paul went to that city and preached the gospel of Christ in Acts chapter 16. Among those who were gloriously saved at that time were Lydia and the Philippian jailer. And of course, their conversions are well known to us all. Although there was opposition against the message that Paul preached on that occasion in Acts chapter 16, God blessed his ministry at Philippi, and a church was established for the glory of God. Now, a number of years later, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this letter to this congregation at Philippi to encourage them to keep going on with God in their Christian faith. There's no doubt that this epistle is an epistle of encouragement. And I pray as we come to study this epistle that the Lord will encourage us, child of God, to go on with God, to continue in these days serving the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls. Very simply, this afternoon, as I come to preach God's word, I want to draw your attention to 3 days in the life of the saints of God at Philippi. And I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. These were very important days in their lives. Indeed, they were 3 vital days in the lives of the saints at Philippi. And I want you to consider, as we look at these 3 days, how they link together. How they link together. Now there's a message here for both saint and sinner alike. I pray that it will encourage the saint of God. But I also pray that the message will challenge your heart if you're found in this meeting and you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You're not born again of the Spirit of God. First of all, I want you to notice a past day, or a day in the past. Paul describes this past day in the life of the Christians at Philippi as the first day. Look with me there at verse 5 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day." I want you to underline that. From the first day. I believe that this first day that Paul is speaking about here was the day of their conversion. The day when they were saved. Paul here, I believe, is drawing the saints at Philippi's attention to the day when they were saved by the grace of God. And of course, the day when they were saved was the first day of their new life in Christ. And it was, of course, a past day. Paul was drawing their attention to a day in the past. But what a glorious day it was. He was reminding them here of the day when they first met Christ, when he first preached among them, and many of them came to know the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Redeemer. As we're told here, that from that first day, Paul had sweet fellowship with the saints in the church at Philippi. That's what verse 5 tells us. Look at it. Paul speaks about their fellowship with him in the gospel. But look at verse 4. First of all, "Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day." My, Paul is saying here, from that first day you were saved, I have had sweet fellowship with you. Surely this first day can only mean one thing. It was the day when they met Christ and were gloriously converted. It was the day of their salvation. And from that first day of their conversion, Paul had sweet fellowship with them in the gospel. Child of God, how wonderful it is to have fellowship with each other in the gospel. To meet in God's house and worship the God of heaven. And of course that's what we're doing today. We're meeting together and we're meeting with the Lord. And we're having sweet fellowship around his precious, precious word. Of course, the gospel there that Paul is referring to united him and the saints at Philippi together in one common faith. That was the faith of Jesus Christ. And this sweet fellowship that he was enjoying, my, they were enjoying it because they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. I know today in this congregation there are many who can look back to this day in the past, this first day, this day of conversion. And what a glorious memory it is for those of us today who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And we can look back to that first day when we met Christ and when Christ came into our lives and we were born again of the Spirit of God. And what sweet fellowship, my, the saints of God have had together. We have had with the saints of God from that first day. However, the question that I want to ask everyone here is this. Is there a day in your past when you were converted and saved by God's grace? I know that many here today can look back to that day when they were converted. But can you look back to a first day? A day when you began your walk with God? Every sinner born into this world, if they're ever going to get into heaven, must have this first day of conversion in their lives. They must have the experience of the day of conversion, the day of salvation. Do you have such a day in your life. Not asking you to look back to a day when you were baptized or to a day when you were confirmed. I'm asking you, can you look back to a day when you were gloriously saved for time and for eternity? Truly, that was the first day that you began to live, if you can. Certainly in my own life, that's my testimony. The first day when I really began to live was the day when the Lord Jesus saved me, when I was born again of the Spirit of God. You see, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. I'm sure that most of you can remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning Zacchaeus when he was saved. You remember the Lord Jesus met Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was up the sycamore tree. And the Lord Jesus said to him, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And of course Zacchaeus obeyed the command of God. And he came down. And he went home that day with the Lord Jesus. You remember what Jesus said concerning that day specifically? He said this. And he said it in Luke 19 verse 9, if you want to look at it. This day is salvation come to this house. In other words, that was the day when Zacchaeus was saved. That was the day when Zacchaeus' life was transformed and changed for all eternity, when he was converted. Oh, my friend, can you look back to such a day in your life? You'll notice here that Paul speaks about this first day. And it's important, therefore. Many people in this age in which we live, they don't think that conversion is important. But my friend, it is important. It is vital if man is ever going to get into heaven and escape hell. There must be a first day. When you began your walk with God, there must be a first day. This day of conversion. And Paul here reminds the saints at Philippi concerning this first day, because it was so important. It was so important. If you haven't got a first day, in other words, if you are not saved, if you can't look back to a day when you were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, then I pray that this day will be the first day for you, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. You need to be saved, and you need to be born again, and you need this day to come and accept Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Would you come today? Would you come now? Would you trust Him this very moment? The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words, only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Oh, there was a past day. The past day was the first day. And the first day was the day when they met Christ and were converted. Now, I want you to notice, secondly, a present day. Look again at Philippians chapter 1. You will notice that Paul not only speaks about a past day in the life of these saints at Philippi, but he also speaks about the present day in the lives of these saints. Look at verse 5. Now look at it carefully. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now I want you to underline that little word now. The now in verse 5 is referring to the present day. The present day. The truth of the matter was this. There were many days from the day these saints were first saved until this present day that the Apostle Paul was now speaking about. Many days, indeed many years had passed from that first day of their conversion until this present day. But as Paul considered the spiritual walk of these saints at Philippi, he could say that their spiritual walk with God was right up to date. I want you to think about that. In other words, their present day Christian walk with God was very good, and his fellowship with them in the gospel was as sweet now at present than it was when they were first converted. Child of God, here's a challenging question for you and me. Is our walk with God and our fellowship with the saints of God as sweet now, in this present day, as it was when we were first converted? How is our present day Christian life compared to the first day of our conversion? How is our walk with God today, this day, Sunday the 2nd of November 2014, compared with the first day when we came to Christ? Now, some of us, of course, have been saved longer than others. Perhaps you have been saved many, many years before I was saved. Maybe you're not saved that long. Maybe you're just saved a few years. Maybe you're just saved a few months. But here's the question, and it's a question that only you can answer. How is your present day walk with God? In other words, how are you walking with God today compared to how you were walking with God the first day you were saved? Now, that's a challenging question. Child of God, it is not what we were yesterday, but what we are today that is all important. How is our present walk with God? Because it is possible to have walked well with the Lord yesterday and not be walking well with the Lord today. It is possible to have had sweet fellowship with the saints of God yesterday and that fellowship to be broken today. It is possible to have begun well in our Christian life and not to have continued well. In other words, are you walking well with the Lord today? Today. This very day. Are you walking with God? Is your life shining out for Him? Are you in fellowship with the Lord today, the way that you were in fellowship with Him the first day Jesus saved you? Because the truth is this. You may not be walking well with the Lord today. I want you to turn over, it's a familiar portion of Scripture, but I want you to turn over to it anyway. In Revelation chapter 2, I want to remind you what is said about the Christians at Ephesus. Now, we're dealing here with the Christians at Philippi. And as far as these Christians at Philippi were concerned, their present day walk with God was good. They were still walking with the Lord in that present day, the same way as they were walking with God the first day they were saved. So from the first day they were saved until that present day, they were going on with God. They were continuing in their Christian life, serving the Lord with all their hearts. So nothing had changed for the saints at Philippi. But that could not be said about the saints at Ephesus. They started off well. Their first day of conversion was a good day. It was a needful day. It was a day that was imperative if they were ever going to get into heaven. But something had come between them and the Lord as they continued to walk. And their present day was far from exceptional. Look at Revelation 2 verse 1. Unto the angel or unto the messenger of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor. He's speaking here to the church at Ephesus. And he's going to sum them up. And he's going to sum up their present day walk with God. My friend, I can't emphasize that enough. We're not coming here so much to look at their first day, the day of their conversion. We're coming here to look at their present day walk with God. Here's what the Lord says in verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has laboured and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Underline the word first love. Oh, John here, he speaks of the first day of their conversion. He describes it as their first love. But as he considers that day when they were first saved and when they first fell in love with Christ, their present day was in an awful state compared to that first day, because they'd left their first love. In other words, they were not walking with God in their present day as they used to walk in their first day. They had lost their first day's love for God. They had lost their first day's love for Christ. Oh, I wonder, is there someone here in God's house this afternoon, and you've lost your first day's love for Christ? Oh, you can look back to that day when you were saved. Yes. You can look back to that day when you began your walk with God. But between that day and this very present day, something has happened. Something has happened in your Christian life to knock you off the rails. You've gone into bypath meadows. You've lost the joy of your salvation. Did we not say that this was the epistle of joy? 24 times at least in this epistle, Paul speaks about the joy of the Lord. And he does that for a reason. Because the Lord, when you're walking with Him, He brings joy in your heart. He brings joy in your soul. In everything that you do, you're rejoicing. And no matter what your circumstances are, you're rejoicing in Him. But the Christians at Ephesus had lost their joy. Now, they hadn't lost their salvation. And we'll say more about that as we continue these studies. But they had lost their joy. They had lost their first love. I wonder, is there someone here today, and your present day walk with God is like the Christians at Ephesus, and you've left your first love? Remember what Paul said to the Christians in Galatians 5 verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? In other words, what Paul was saying there to the Christians at Galatia was that they had started off well. Their first day, their first weeks, their first months, perhaps even their first years, they were running well with God, serving the Lord. They had the joy of the heart, the joy of the Lord in their heart. And they were going on tremendously well. But then something hindered them. Young Christian, has something hindered you today in your walk with God? Has someone hindered you? Has something come into your life and it's hindered you, and you're not walking well with God in this present day? Well, if that's the case, you need to get back to the Lord. You need to repent. You need to seek the Lord afresh. But you need to get back to the place where you once were with the Lord. Isaiah 2 verse 5 says, O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Are you walking in the light of the Lord today? Walking in His commandments. Walking in the light of His truth. 1 John 1 verse 6 and 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's present day walking. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I pray today that those of us who profess the name of Christ, I pray that we're all walking in this present day with the Lord, with our hearts fully tuned to Him. Oh, there was a past day. And that day was the first day, the day when they were saved. And there was a present day. And these Christians at Philippi here, they were walking well with the Lord in their present day. Because the apostle says that he has had sweet fellowship with them from that first day until now. From that first day right to this present day, they're walking with the Lord. And Paul here commends them for that. But then Paul speaks about another day. I'm sure you've noticed it. He speaks about a future day. Did you notice it as we read down the passage of Scripture? Paul in this chapter speaks about a future day in the life of the saints at Philippi. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Paul speaks about the day of Christ. A day in the future when Christ will return the second time to this earth. Paul speaks of this future day of Christ coming as a fact. Now, many people do not believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. They do not believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus. But the Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus is coming again. And here we have the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the saints at Philippi, he speaks about this day in the future when the Lord Jesus will come again. This day of Christ's second return will take place, men and women. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 2 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Turn over just for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 3 and take a look there at three verses. These three verses speak about this future day when the Lord Jesus will come back again. Look at verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment." Now, the day of Christ's return is described there as the day of judgment. The day of judgment. Look at verse 10. "But the day of the Lord," there's it described as the day of the Lord. "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up." Now look at verse 12. "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God." So it's described there, the second coming of Christ is described there as the day of God. "Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Therefore, the day of the Lord's return is coming. Of course, the question arises, are you ready? Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? And if you're not saved in this meeting today, then you're not ready, you're not prepared. And I would exhort you, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare for death. Prepare for the second coming of Christ. Come and accept the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer today. However, I want you to see what Paul is saying here to the saints at Philippi in the light of this future day of Christ's return. Paul wants these saints at Philippi to walk with God until the day of Christ. They were walking in sweet fellowship with Christ from the day they were saved up until that present day, and we have already noticed that. But now Paul exhorts them to continue their walk with God until Jesus comes again. You see the link? See the link? The first day they were saved, they continued walking with God, serving the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord until that present day. And Paul commended them for it. And Paul had sweet fellowship with them from that first day to that present day. But then Paul begins to look at this future day, the second coming of Christ, and he exhorts them, "Now listen, you've done so well up until this present day, but I want you now to continue on walking with the Lord and serving the Lord until Jesus comes." Until the Lord Jesus comes again. He encourages them to continue to serve the Lord. Look again with me there at verse 6. As Paul encourages them, he tells them that the Lord Jesus will give them strength to continue walking with him and serving him. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The word perform there in the text, in verse 6, it means accomplish, fulfill, carry out. That's what the word literally means. It means to make an end of, or to complete. In other words, the work that Christ has begun in the hearts of his people at conversion, he will complete that work. Indeed, he has completed that work, because the work of our salvation is a completed work. We're complete in him, and we're going to be saying more about that in the course of these studies. But what encouragement we have here, dear child of God. What encouragement we have to continue serving the Lord. We don't live in good days and good times spiritually. The tide is out. We're living in hard days. We're living in hard times. But you know, the truth of the matter is that the Lord has promised to give us strength, no matter what the day is like, no matter how hard the times may be. And it's so important, child of God, that you and I, who are seeking to go on with God and to serve the Lord, that we continue until Jesus comes or calls. It's so important that we continue to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice how the saints at Philippi were to live their lives until Jesus would come again. There are several things here. I'll just point them out to you very quickly. First of all, they were to approve things that were excellent. Look at verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent till the day of Christ. The word approve means to test. Therefore, until Christ comes again, these Christians at Philippi were to make right choices by testing everything according to God's word. The life of these saints of God were to be made up of making the right decisions on the basis of God's word. Look at Philippians 4 verse 8. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Also, they were to be sincere in their Christian lives. Look again at verse 10. It says that ye may be sincere till the day of Christ. The word sincere means to be honest. It means to be real in your Christian life, not to be a hypocrite. It means to shine out for Christ and to obey his word. Look again at verse 10 and you'll see they were to be without offense. It says there, and without offense. The phrase without offense means not to cause others to stumble. They were not to be a stumbling block in the lives of others. This is how they were to live up until Christ would come again. Take a look at verse 11. Also, they were to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Paul here draws our attention to the Christian sanctification. Sanctification, of course, is a work of God's free grace. And when we're filled with the fruits of righteousness, these fruits will be seen in our lives, in holiness and in godliness. And these points that Paul brings out here, he emphasizes to the saints at Philippi, this is how you're to walk. This is how you're to live. Until Jesus Christ comes back again. In other words, they were to have a good testimony for the Lord Jesus. Child of God, here's a clear message for you and I. We're in this present day. We're in this present day. But there's a day coming when Jesus Christ will come again. I believe it's very soon. I believe the Lord will come very soon. There's some people and they would try to put a date on it. Well, I'm not that foolish, because I don't know exactly when the Lord is coming again. For no man knows the day nor the hour. But I know this, that he's coming. He's coming again. And it's so important that you and I are walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called when He comes. Let us approve things that are excellent. Let us test everything by the Word of God, and let us live according to the Word of God. Let us be sincere and without offense. Let us not put a stumbling block in the ways of others. And let us be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Why? Well, verse 11 gives us the answer. For the glory and praise of God. Our lives until Christ comes again are to bring glory and praise to the God of heaven. Therefore, here is the challenge. Are we walking with God as well today as we were the first day we were saved? If not, we need to get right with God again today. And then we need from this present day to walk with God every day of our lives until Jesus comes again or calls us home to glory. Was that not Enoch's testimony? It is said of Enoch that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. From the day he was saved until the day God brought him home to glory, the testimony of the Scriptures, the testimony of the Lord was that he was a man who walked with God. Oh, I pray in these days that we will be known as those who walk with God. Child of God, our walk with God will affect others. It will affect others. If we are not walking right with God, it will affect others. Just turn over, and this is the last reference, and we're finished. Galatians chapter 2 for a moment. You remember that Peter acted the hypocrite. And this was many years after the day of Pentecost. And of course, Peter was saved through the Lord Jesus when the Lord Jesus called him. And that first day was a glorious day in Peter's life. And Peter went on well with the Lord, of course, until the crucifixion, and then things started to go downhill. And then the Lord restored him, you remember that. And on the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 souls were saved. And of course, he was used in a mighty way in the early part of the book of Acts, the early church. And then a number of years passed by and Peter started to backslide. And he didn't walk so well, and Paul had to challenge him. Paul had to challenge him. And that's in this chapter, Paul challenges him and he says, I had to withstand Peter to the face. I had to point out his mistake. I had to tell him he was wrong. I had to tell him that he wasn't walking with God in that present day the way he used to walk with God at the first. But Peter's backsliding influenced others. That's what I want you to see. Look at verse 14 of Galatians 2. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Oh, Peter's backsliding here was influencing others. Our lives influence others. Our backsliding will influence others for evil. It will. And that's why it is so important, child of God, that you and I walk with God every day of our lives until Jesus comes. Are you walking with God today? I ask myself that question. I think we could all be walking with God a little bit closer. I think we could all be walking with God a little bit closer. But if you're found in this house this day backslidden, out of the will of God, knowing that you're saved, knowing that there's that first day in your life, but this present day, things are not right, things are not well, then, my friend, this is a message for you. You need to make them right. You need to get right with your God. You need to turn from your backsliding. And you need to start walking with God again. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. And He's coming very soon. And you're going to meet Him. We're all going to meet the Lord. I wonder on that day, will we hold our heads in shame, wishing that we had given the Lord more, wishing that we had served Him better, wishing that we had lived for Him better. The first day, or the past day, the present day, and the future day. May God bless His work. Let us pray.